Welcome to today's segment of our Briefly Focused series, Managing Emails for Lawyers with ADHD and Other Attention Challenges. I'm Belinda McCauley, Executive Director of the Beverly Hills Bar Association. I'm very happy to be here today to introduce today's speaker, Sarah Tetlow, who is a popular return speaker here at BHBA. Sarah is an experienced productivity consultant, trainer, and speaker for attorneys and other busy professionals. She uses her past experiences, organizational and strategic thought process, education, and training to help law firms improve their bottom line and operate more efficiently. Through one-on-one consulting, strategic planning, workshops, and group trainings, Sarah works with attorneys, law firms, and busy professionals to find personalized ways in which to manage one's day with a proactive and focused approach. Sarah has particular expertise in email management and agreed to customize some of her tips and recommendations for lawyers with ADHD and other attention challenges. And we really appreciate her sharing that expertise with us today. So with that, Sarah, the floor is yours.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Belinda. And hello, everybody. I'm thrilled to be here with you today. Happy Wednesday morning or afternoon, depending on where you're sitting right now. And for those that join the on-demand later, the recording later, I hope you're also having a productive and a great day. So I want to just start by setting the scene for you. And maybe this was what your day looked like today. You woke up and maybe you checked some emails on your phone. Maybe you had some other morning routine, some self-care or just getting the kids out the door into school, or even just getting yourself out the door and to work. But whatever your morning routine looked like this morning, did you arrive to your desk, open up that computer or boot it up, and turn on your Outlook or Gmail if that's the software that you use? And immediately you were greeted with some emails, maybe some stale emails from the last couple of days or weeks, maybe some fresh, bolded emails, new messages that have come in. And you started to click through some emails. You responded to one or two. Maybe you deleted a couple that you could delete. And as you're going through these emails this morning, you're remembering that critical, most important thing that you need to work on today. And while you had every intent to get started on it, you had a calendar alert pop up. You had a meeting, or maybe it was this presentation. And so now your best intent is you're going to do it immediately after our time together. And thank you for prioritizing yourself and being here today. But if you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed by the emails that greet you every morning, I'm hoping to help change that for you today. So this is, as Belinda teed up, part of the Briefly Focused series, specializing in focus with attorneys who live with ADHD or other attention challenges. And not to mitigate any diagnosis of ADHD, it is 2025, and I think most of us, many of us, struggle with some degree of attention challenges. So you're in the right place today. Welcome, and I'm thrilled to have you here. If Rin could please put up the first poll, I'd like to just get a sense of who I have in the room with me today. So who's here today? Just pick the one that best describes who you are. And if you pick other and you care to put more in the Q&A just about what best describes you, you're welcome to do so. And I'll take a look at that later. But for now, do one of these four prompts best describe who you are? So we'll give that a few seconds and then I'll have Rin close it. All right, welcome. So more than half with you, most of you are attorneys. Most of you have already been diagnosed with ADHD or not, or your other attention challenges. And we have a few support people. So everybody welcome, thank you for being here. And I am Sarah Tetlow. If I have had the pleasure of meeting you before, nice to see you again, and always loving having you here at Beverly Hills Bar Association, one of my favorite places to present. If we have not met before, hi, I'm Sarah. I worked in law firms for 15 years before I created Firm Focus. And all we do is time management, coaching, and training. And as a subset to that, email management. So we work with individuals on time, project, task, attention management, and email management. So think those distractions, those interruptions, multitasking, perfectionism, analysis paralysis, procrastination, too much to do, too many meetings, disorganization, neurodivergent issues. All of these are within the wheelhouse of what we cover at Firm Focus. And today we're going to hone in on one of the biggest pain points I have often heard my clients have, that email. Email continues to be a source of overwhelm. So we're going to cover first multitasking, because often the multitasking comes hand in hand with checking email. One causes the other and vice versa. And ultimately, we're going to establish how and why you're mostly hurting yourself by doing multitasking throughout your day. Then we're going to get into jelly bellies. This is the heart of my art system that we're going to learn about today. Then we're going to get into the 5D's productivity principle and how that connects to email. And then the I'm in, you have buy-in from me, Sarah. This is valuable. I want to change the way I practice. So I'm going to give you some takeaway steps, some micro steps that you can do to change your inbox today. And then we'll wrap it up with asked and answered, my way of addressing Q&A. But I am going to pause between each of these segments to invite questions. And if you think, oh, I'll remember what I was going to ask, we don't remember because we've moved on from that slide. We're not thinking about that topic. And we go, I had a question and I can't remember what it was. So please go ahead and put your questions in the Q&A as you think of them. And when I pause and invite them, Rin will feed them to me. All right, let's get going. So this is a scientifically proven sentence. Multitasking makes you dumb. And yet we all do it. Don't worry, you're not alone. Everybody here multitasks. I usually ask the room when I'm in person, who's a multitasker? And maybe like 70% raise their hand. And I'm like, no, 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 raise it loud and not proud, but raise it loud and high, because every one of us fall victim to multitasking. But I want to show you what multitasking is doing to your brain. And based on a study done by UC Irvine, they found that 650 billion dollars is wasted because of professionals multitasking. And while my brain can't quite process that number, I'm like, that's a lot of numbers. I think that's quite big. But let's just break it down for a moment. What is your billable rate? Okay, if you can come up with that in your mind. Now, what I have found through working with my clients and presenting to organizations, it is not uncommon to sometimes leak an hour a day. So now an hour a day times that billable rate, and then let's just do basic math, multiply it by 10, and then multiply it again by 25. That's not basic math, but you can probably get to a number. Now, whatever that number is you got to, that's one individual in your firm. Now, the size of your firm, you can magnify it. And your firm is one firm in your city. And your city is one city in your state. And your state is one state in our nation. And so now we can start to see where that $650 billion of leaked time because of multitasking is likely very true. Not to mention that study was done in 2019. So I can't help but think that number has actually gone up significantly in the last 6 years. So let's show what multitasking does to your brain. We're going to do an exercise. Wherever you're sitting, you get to participate and just write down your answers. Here's what's going to happen. In just a moment, I am going to play a short video on the screen. It's about 15 seconds or so, and it has no sound. You're not going to get a break from my voice just yet, because I'm also going to read a segment from a book at the same time. And then we're going to have a quiz. So Ren will be putting up polling questions so you can answer the correct answer, or the answer that you think is correct based on what you saw and what you heard. And then just keep a tally of how many you got correct. There's going to be four questions, and then the fifth one will be, how many did you get correct? Okay, so hopefully that's clear. I'll just repeat very briefly. Video on the screen for 20 seconds. I'm going to be reading a segment from a book, and then we're going to have a quiz. So I'm assuming the thumbs up are going up on your screen. Let me just get my notes up for the sentence, and we'll begin. I stand on the sidewalk outside Grier School on the following Monday. I'm 10 minutes early as per Mrs. X's strict instructions, and so I flip through my Filofax and chart out my deadlines. Got it? You're going to ace this, right? All right, so Ren, if you can please put up that first poll question. How early was the woman in the book? So go ahead and select the answer. And Ren, since you can see, you can close when you're ready. Great. All right. So we have 88% said 10 minutes. 5% both said 5 minutes and 15 minutes, and 2% said 30 minutes. All right, so tally down. If you got it correct, the answer is B, 10 minutes. So just make a note, did you get that one correct or not? Question two, what color was the pig that won the race? All right, so let's see what the results are here. Ooh, we got a mix here. Okay, so 32% say orange, 29% says red, 27% says green, and 12% says yellow. So the correct answer was B, orange. So go ahead and tally whether or not you got that question correct. Number three, what day of the week was it in the book? It was not today, not a Wednesday. At least that's not an option. All right, let's close this poll. We've got almost half thought it was Monday. 19% say Tuesday. We've got some that say Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. The correct answer is A, Monday. So make a tally if you got that one correct. Question four, what race number was the yellow pig? What race number was the yellow pig? All right, let's close that one. We have 54% came in at race number three. Equal said two or four, and 12% said race number one. The correct answer here was number three. So tally whether or not you got that correct. And finally, how many of the four questions did you get correct? All right, let's close that. Okay, so we've got a small handful got all four correct. And we have a rough split of getting two or three correct. Most of you got two correct, and we have a handful that got one correct. So this is pretty typical for what I see when I do this is most people get about two correct. For those that did get two correct, know for yourself, did you get the two audio questions correct, but not the visual? Or did you get the two visual corrections correct, but not the audio? Or was it split? Because sometimes that can just give you a little bit of insight too in how you best receive information. So I find most people get the audio correct. They're still attuned to my voice, and the visual, they kind of gloss over a little bit. But certainly not everyone fits within that result. So some people get the visual and not the audio, and some people are split. Even if you got three correct, you may also have a little insight into your learning style as well, because often when I can get live feedback from people, they'll say something like, I got the two visual correct and I guessed accurately on the third one that I got correct, which was the audio one. So just something interesting to pay attention to yourself. It's also not uncommon that I have people that don't get any correct, or also some that get all of them correct. So you likely are better at multitasking, or it's just something that you need to do more often. So, especially if you are in a support role, such as a legal assistant or a paralegal, sometimes I find that they score better on this because part of their role is really needing to multitask, needing to be able to put something down and pick something else up. Whereas many attorneys really should find a groove in focusing on something through the completion and not multitasking. We all have to project switch throughout the day, but the multitasking is something that we should not be doing throughout the day. And so this is a good, just fun exercise to show that while you could have watched the video and put your attention on the video, you probably would have memorized almost everything about that silly pig race, because there's not a lot of detail when we really think about it. There's four little pigs with some colored vests on running around a half of a ring and through a finish line. Or you could have probably listened to the three sentences I read and maybe even memorized the whole thing. But when we're asking our brain to do two cognitively demanding things at the same time, often we struggle with it. And this is where mistakes occur. This is where we leak time. We're less productive. We're less creative. Our stress and anxiety increase, and our billable time decreases. It's also where, if you've ever, I know when I was practicing in law firms, sometimes you would be working on a memo and you would translate the wrong client name or the wrong number. And that's probably the result of multitasking. You just finished checking an email and then you went back to what you were doing and you converted the numbers or the people from the email into the document that you were working on. In fact, studies have shown that when we multitask, each time we multitask, each time you jump from an email back into a brief or working on an agreement and then checking the news or social media or your phone or getting interrupted, that you can leak up to 23 minutes and 15 seconds each time. So that is how often throughout the day you can cumulatively leak an hour of time if you're multitasking chronically throughout the day. So if you've ever been on a diet, or you generally just watch what you eat, you probably would not. Donuts are my sweet craving. I love donuts. So if I am trying to watch what I eat, I would not go out and buy a tray full of donuts, set them on my desk, and say to myself, I have the willpower to not touch those donuts. That would be ridiculous. And I remember, again, when I worked in law firms, what you would do is you would buy a box of donuts because you wanted half of one, and then you would go put them in the kitchen. This is way back when everybody was in the office. And then every time you'd walk into the kitchen to, refill your water, someone would leave like a half a donut and a knife. And you're like, well, that's ludicrous. You can't leave that. So you would take the half a donut, or you would cut off a corner and take that corner until that box is gone, and probably consuming well over your serving of a donut that you should have. Okay, I've digressed on donut. Why am I talking about donuts? Because if you've ever been on a diet, or you generally watch what you eat overall, and you wouldn't put this stuff right in front of you because you know you don't have the willpower. And yet, you think you have the willpower when it comes to distractions and interruptions in your life. So, distractions and interruptions are the emails, the text messages, the social media, the news, all of these things that your willpower is just not strong enough to control or mitigate. And so I call these things donut holes. And we want to try to mitigate the number of donut holes that are in your digital environment. And I'm going to talk in a little bit about the number one gift I give you in terms of email and anyone with attention challenges or ADHD, the best gift that you can give yourself would be to mitigate and control the distractions in your environment. And I'm going to talk more about that in just a moment. So turning off your notifications on email is critical. It is absolutely critical because your willpower alone is not enough. And so in Outlook, you can scan this QR code or just go to Firm Focus Resource. I have a full handout on everything I'm going to talk about today in terms of the ART system, first steps, turning off notifications. And if you're in Gmail, it's in your settings. You're welcome to reach out to me and I can send you a little video on how to do it. But you have to turn off notifications because if you're sitting here now and you might be thinking to yourself, oh, the notifications don't actually bother me. I don't even pay attention to it. I promise you that you are wrong because it's two cognitively demanding things at the same time. And by the notifications, Outlook's default is a gray pop-up box pops up on the bottom right of your screen. Now, that's one of four types of notifications that Outlook offers. And by default, three of them are turned on. So the gray pop-up box is one, a chime, bing, bing, is a second one. And the third one is it displays an envelope on your toolbar. The fourth one is it moves your mouse or it opens up Outlook automatically. That one is typically turned off. I recommend you turn all of them off. But what if I forget to check email, Sarah? Now, who has ever forgotten to check email? I don't think anyone has ever forgotten to check email because it does release a dopamine hit. And so we are addicted to checking email. I am addicted to checking email. But the difference is you are in control of when you choose to go check email. Now, everyone who's here today is in a different position in terms of how frequently you need to check email. And one of the big questions I often get is, Sarah, do you recommend checking email at certain times of the day? Now, a lot of productivity experts would probably say, yes, you should only check email at certain times of the day. I've worked in law. I don't think that's a realistic strategy for most. I think it might last for a few weeks and then we go back to old habits. So instead, what I recommend is just check email intentionally based on what it is you need to get done. In other words, if you know you need to get some research done and you need to have it done in the next 2 hours, and roughly it's going to take you an hour to an hour and a half to do the research, then you can use what's called a Pomodoro method, which is focus on doing the research for 25 minutes uninterrupted. Do not check email. In fact, close your email while you focus for 25 minutes. You can also extend that to 50 minutes or an hour, whatever that definition is that you want to do to focus for that allotted amount of time. Then at the end of that focus time, you can project switch and go check email as long as you do so within some parameters. So you might say, I will go check email, but I'm only going to check it for 10 minutes before I go back to focusing on another project or back to the project I was focusing on. And what this does is it also helps you prioritize what emails to check versus just endless amount of time in email. Now, one last thing on this too, the 50 minutes in the example I'm giving. How do you know it's been 50 minutes, Sarah? Sometimes as when I have ADHD, I get hyper-focused and I lose track of time. I look up and it's been 3 hours and I haven't even looked at email, which is why I recommend a tool. This is a great tool called a time timer. This tool, time timer, it's got a little brand name down there. You can get them on Amazon. You set this dial. I use this all day long. I set this dial. So if I'm going to focus on my research for 50 minutes, I set the dial, I focus uninterrupted, and when the timer goes off, that's when I gift myself the task switching. Okay, so I'm hearing some questions come through. I'm going to pause for a moment. Rin, would you mind letting me know if there's any questions to address right now?
Yes, one of our attendees wants to know, can one set up notifications for an email from a particular individual? So I would assume turning off the notifications, but just keeping it on for one person.
Absolutely. So I'm not going to dive deep into rules and quick steps today. the handout that I just had up has more information on rules. You can also reach out to me directly via a rule. So a rule says, hey, Outlook, when the message comes in, I want you to do this with it. And so just in terms of notifications, we're turning them off completely, but I can go into rules and I can say, anytime Belinda emails me, play a sound. And then that rule will override the notifications being turned off, and it will notify you if certain people or certain subject lines or certain types of emails. In other words, you can say, if someone emails me with a high priority symbol, so maybe your most important client or a partner at your firm uses the high priority symbol a lot and they use it well, that's a whole nother thing we can talk about another day. You can override it and say, when high priority symbol comes in, then notify me, okay? You can also reach out to me to dive deeper into rules and quick steps because I won't cover them deeply during our time together today. Great. Rin, any other questions?
We do have an attendee asking how to shut off Outlook alerts.
Yeah, download the handout because I'm going to say it quickly right now or just revisit this webinar on demand. You'll go to File, Options, Mail. So it's File, Options on the panel on the left. And then once you're there, you'll click on the Mail panel. That's going to open up the window to change your mail settings. It should, depending on the size of your opened window, it should be right at the bottom or about halfway down the screen. It says notifications and there's four checkboxes. Uncheck all of those, okay? It might, if you're sitting here today and this is new and you're gonna do that and you've had them turned on, what I have heard from people, it's a little scary. It's like, I'm really afraid to do this. I'm afraid I'm gonna miss something. And then what I hear within a week or two, it is so liberating. They almost feel like there's a part of their mind that just all of a sudden got swept away. All right, Ren, I think we have time for one more right now if there's another one, and then we can save the rest for the next segment.
Currently no more questions in the Q&A.
Amazing, great, all right. Great questions. Okay, so we've talked about multitasking and I wanted to set that foundation because again, I often found that many people, the multitasking is because of email or email causes the multitasking. So since I love my sugar, my donuts and my jelly bellies, I'm gonna talk a little bit about jelly bellies for a moment. Now the Jelly Belly variety pack, I happen to live pretty close to one of Jelly Belly's factories and this is one of their top sellers because in the moment it seems logical. I can't decide what flavors I want, and this is the best choice to just sample all of the flavors. And so in, you open up the Jelly Belly variety pack after you buy it, and instinctively, you start hunting for that favorite flavor. So my favorite flavors happen to be the bubble gums or the cotton candies. What is your favorite flavor? Rin, you want to pull up that poll for a second? I'm just curious what the room likes, so I make sure I don't insult somebody if their favorite flavor is one of my least favorite flavors, but give you a second there to vote. All right, Rin, let's go ahead and close that. Okay, we got a lot of very cherry favorite flavor. No sizzle and cinnamon. All right. And oh, we got some buttered popcorns. Oh, I'm going to be honest, that usually is my least favorite flavor example, but I'll use sizzle and cinnamon today. Okay, so excellent. That's just a little bit of fun there. So the Jelly Belly variety pack, you start going for your favorite flavor. And then when you think you've exhausted that, or you start working on your second favorite flavor or that third favorite flavor, until at the bottom of the pack, all those sizzle and cinnamons are sitting there, the flavor that nobody in this crowd likes. But what if I told you that instead of buying the Jelly Belly variety pack, where every time you reach into the pack, you have to make a decision, that if instead you bought each pack individually, so if you bought just that juicy pear, if that's your favorite flavor, or just that cotton candy, or you leave the sizzle and cinnamon on the shelf for our group here, But you can reduce decision fatigue, knowing that every time I reach into this pack, I am getting the flavor I like. I can just pop those juicy pears or cotton candies or buttered popcorns in my mouth, and I'm satisfied. I don't have to think about it. So let's connect this to email for a moment. This is just a sample of an Outlook inbox. And what we're looking at here is on the left, we've got our folder structure. You might have reading pane open on the right. Some people have that off, some have it open below. And then in the center, we have the metadata, who sent the message, what time and date it came in, what the subject line is. You might even have message preview turned on. That's where it gives a couple of sentences at the beginning of the email. You have some that are likely bolded. That means it's unread. So probably means you haven't even opened it yet, but sometimes that means you chose to mark it as unread to remember to go back to it. Same with flags. You might use flags. And I see people use flags for so many different reasons. This is really important. I have to remember to respond today. This seems interesting. I'd like to read it. I'm stuck on this email because I need more information from somebody. So this inbox, though, does anyone else find it to be a little bit distracting, noisy, overwhelming? I've heard people go, actually, it looks pretty clean compared to mine, but I don't know where to focus because the system's trying to give me hints of what my priorities are. It's got blue bolded numbers on the left. That means I haven't read those messages. It's got something open on the right. There's unread messages in the middle, but there's also flag messages. So my decision fatigue is heightened right now because I don't know where I should be focusing. And in essence, this is your mixed jelly belly variety pack. When emails come in, they're all coming in at different flavors. Your high priority buttered popcorn or sizzling or cherry, very cherry or cotton candy, to your low priority junk spammy emails, which are your sizzle and cinnamons. And yet they all come in and they all look the same until now. So what we're gonna do is talk about how to change your inbox to be more intentional. To normally sizzle and cinnamon is a favorite. So I usually use that as an example as a flavor you want, but we're gonna use that as an example as a flavor that you don't want. And we're gonna do that through what I created called art. Now, I will pause. Rin, have any questions come in about Jelly Bellies?
No questions about Jelly Bellies. However, one of our attendees did say that they're just flagging way too many emails.
Great. Yeah. Flagging way too many emails. So what I find happen is we flag too many emails and then it started off as a system and then it just turns into chaos and overwhelm. So when we talk about the art system next, I actually recommend not using flags. You're like, wait, how do I get to that point? I know it's baby steps. So right now you're not going to get there at the end of this hour, but through the baby steps. But I recommend not using flags or using flags, but having some meta decisions or internal rules around it, boundaries around it. What I mean by that is let's just say, imagine for a second that you get all your flags cleared, okay? So you have no flags. What your meta decision or rule can be is that from that point forward, flags have to be cleared by the end of the day. So let's say you flag, throughout the day, you're really busy and you flag one email because you need to reply to it. One because it's interesting, and one more because you also need to reply to that email by the end of the day. At the end of the day, you have to clear all three. And what that might look like realistically is you reply to the two you have to reply to, and the one that was interesting, you just don't have time today to look at it, but you might have time tomorrow or in the future. And hopefully with what we're about to get into with the art system, I can offer advice on what to do with that email so you remember to read it later. All right, let's talk about the 5Ds principle in art. So again, we're gonna lay some foundation here and then I'm gonna discuss and show what this means for setting up your inbox in a way that can make it less overwhelming. So the 5Ds, if you've been to one of my programs before, I often repeat the 5Ds because I think that this is really important to understand. As a human being, any behavior that you need to take, any action you need to take, is taken by one of these five D's. So with anything you need to do, you can do it now. If you get up and you brush your teeth, that's an example of an action you need to take, and you just take that action. Other choices are you can delay your action. You're going to do it at some point in the future. You might diminish the action, break it down over time or in segments. The best example of a diminish is laundry. Laundry is something that I need to do laundry, and you usually do it in sections over time. You might delegate the action. I need this to get done, but I'm going to delegate it to somebody else, or I'm going to delegate part of it to somebody else. And finally, you might actively decide to delete it. So maybe that example of that email that was interesting, maybe you realize, well, it's interesting. The reality is I just don't have time to read that. I'm going to go ahead and delete it. So do, delay, diminish, delegate, delete. Those are our choices of any action we take, from brushing our teeth to doing laundry to researching and writing a brief to appearing in court. All of these are do, delay, diminish, delegate, delete. Okay, so hopefully that's clear. Now I'm going to connect it to the art system, because email, let's just step back for a second. What is email? Email is somebody communicating something to you because they want you to take an action. They are demanding your attention. They want you to do an assignment. They want you to pay a bill. They want you to watch a webinar. They want you to listen to their podcast. They want you to sign up for what they're offering. They want you to sign up for a future program. They want you to fly and attend somewhere. Every single email that lands in your inbox is somebody else demanding your attention. And so you really have to guard what is important to you. Where does, who of these people, which of these jelly bellies deserve your attention? And then it's not just, I have an email and I need to do something with it. It is these choices. I have an email and I need to do something now. I can't or won't do something until the future. This email is asking me to do a heavy lift and I'm going to need some time to do it. This email is something that somebody else can do part of, or I'm waiting on somebody else, or even though this person wanted my attention, they are my sizzle and cinnamon. I don't love them, and so I'm going to delete them. And so when I looked at what was part of the root cause of why email was so challenging and demanded our attention, I realized that we often think of email as just, I need to do something with it. But the reality is we have these choices. And so I created ART, which I just pulled up, that stands for action, reference, tracking, trash. I'm going to connect these together. And then don't worry if visually you're like, I get this, but I'm not understanding how this gets set up in email. I'm going to address that in the next section. Okay. So an action email, an action email is one you can handle right away. So in that 10 minutes that you're looking at email, and it's one that you can just answer the question or read it very quickly or somehow address the email immediately and then essentially check the box and be done with that email. So think of, in your own inbox, I want you to think of an example of an action email, one that you can just handle in like 30 seconds to 2 to 3 minutes, and then it's just done. You're done with that email. I'll come up with an example right now just to help you a little bit. Let's say you're preparing for a client call at 3 o'clock today, and that's what you were doing for that 25-minute block. You look at email, and there's that client in your inbox, and they said, what time is our meeting today? Well, you know the answer because you're literally top of mind. You could hit reply, I'll call you at 3 p.m., send. That action is completely done until you meet with the client at 3 o'clock. But the email, the action related to the email, is completely done. So hopefully that resonates. That would be an action email. Next up, the R in ART stands for reference. We want to reference an email to take action. And in the ART system and in email, we have two types of references. We either want to reference an email in time in the future, or I'll cover in a moment, we're going to reference email in time in the past. So talking about referencing an email in time in the future, that is your delay. These are a lot of emails that you get. Reference actionable could be the Beverly Hills Bar sends you a confirmation of a webinar you're going to attend, but you're not going to attend it until next Tuesday at noon. So you have the email that's triggering the action for you to attend because you already signed up, but you can't attend till next Tuesday at noon. Reference actionable could be conference confirmations, webinars, hotel stays, airline tickets. It could be requests from clients. Can you give me a call today at 3 p.m.? That would be an example of this email is asking me to take an action, but I can't or won't take an action until sometime in the future. So I need to reference the email sometime in the future. And I'm going to show you later what to do with these emails that I think proves very helpful. They could also just be a client or someone else asks you to do something and it's going to take, I'm making this up right now, but it's going to take an hour. You don't have an hour today, but you might have an hour tomorrow. That's another example where you're going to address that request in the future. You're going to take action in the future. Okay. So that's reference actionable. We also, as I mentioned earlier, we have reference archival when it comes to email. Now, we can't take action in the past. What that means is these are all of the emails, all of the jelly bellies in your inbox that don't require an action anymore. You've already read it, responded to it, finished it, answered it. The email is done, but you might want to save it. And that's where in Outlook, the folders come in handy. And in Gmail, we call them labels, but they're essentially the same thing, folders or labels. And in fact, what I'll address when we say, I'm in now what, and we talk about next steps, I recommend having reference archival folders where you're filing away the stuff that you no longer need to take action, not leaving it in your inbox. Now, because the group here, everyone's going to be a little bit different. I often see some people who don't use folders at all. They're like, yeah, I have like one, or I have old stale folders, but I don't use them. And then I have the other side that has lots of folders. So I'm not going to dive deep into how to build the folders. But if you're on the camp in the camp of I don't really use folders, even if you had one folder that you said is stuff I've already reviewed or reference archival emails, or I had someone who says, can I call it junk I want to save? I'm like, absolutely, call it whatever you want. You just need somewhere to put the stuff that you're done with, but you want to save it, okay? And for those that have a lot of folders, I'll address in a little bit, maybe a change to make that helps organize them more effectively. Okay, next we have tracking in the ART system. So tracking is delegate, because when it comes to email, while we delegate out like assignments to people, but we also delegate out a question to our client that we need an answer, or a document that we need a signature, like a declaration, or maybe we delegate out a request for additional information. And we want to track that email that we sent to make sure we get back what we need. And so with the ART system, not only are we addressing what's in the inbox, but also keeping track of the things where we're stuck because we need more information or we need something from somebody else before we can move forward. And we want to keep track of those emails. So that's connected to the delegate behavior. And then finally in the ART system, excuse me, trash is delete. That's the easiest one for me to say, but sometimes when it comes to just feeling so overwhelmed in the inbox, what I find is we often don't just hit delete on things because we click out of it, or we're just so overwhelmed that we don't even want to make that decision of deleting it in the moment. But whenever you know that that is somebody who wants your attention, but they are just not a priority right now, whether it's spam or whether it's articles that you just don't have time to read, I want to give you the permission to throw more emails in the trash, okay? So connecting that trash to that delete. And Outlook and Gmail, they put trash cans everywhere on your software. It is up in the ribbon. You can hit delete on your keyboard. If you hover over a message, that trash can shows up. So they're giving you a lot of options to hit delete. Now, if you notice, I skipped over diminish in my connecting. That's because diminish is to break down over time or in sections. That indicates it's a project, which of course we get projects emailed to us over or communicated to us over email. And that falls into where you would save it in your art system action folders, which will become more evident in just a moment, based on where it's at in the cycle. But even better, you really should have a trusted system, which is basically just a to-do list. So that's a lot of the things we work with our clients on, is establishing that trusted system. There's no one magic trusted system. It could be a notebook where you keep track of what you need to do. It could be a digitized system like Monday.com, Asana, Clio, Microsoft Planner, GQs, Write, Todoist. These are examples of trusted systems that can work effectively, where when the email is asking you to do the project, you get it into the trusted system and you work through the project from there and prioritize when you're going to work on it through your habits and behavior with your trusted system. So the email should not necessarily be the trigger to remind you to take action. But I often will still, if I have a project emailed to me, I will keep it in my art action folders until it's done, just for that checks and balances. But I'm really managing the project for my trusted system. Obviously, today I'm not covering trusted systems or to-do lists. Feel free to reach out to me if you want more information, or on the resource pages on Firm Focus website. There is also, it's called Pain in the App Productivity Chart, that has some of the ones I just talked about and just explains a little bit more about their usage, their costs, the functionality, etc. So you're welcome to download that free resource if you want to take a look at what trusted systems might be beneficial for you. And one more thought on that. A trusted system could be using Outlook tasks. It could be in Word. I work with anybody on matching them where they're at on how best to just track what it is they need to get done. But it is critical to do that. Okay, I want to give you, you have this handout. This is a visual that explains everything I just talked about, but I want to do it through a different angle for those that might learn better through a workflow. You get an email in your inbox. That's that blue box at the top. And you ask yourself, do I need to do anything with this email? Remember, they want your attention, but you get to decide, do I give this person or this subject line my attention? If the answer is no, then it's really as easy as, do I need to save it or not? And if the answer is yes, we want to get it into that reference archival. So that's our records department, our library. We can always check it back out later, but we don't need it sitting on our desk reminding us to take action. We also, so is it actionable? No. Do I want to save it? I don't need this. I'm never going to look at this again. Then we want to trash it. We want to immediately delete it the second you see it so that we don't continue touching that email multiple times or leaving it in our inbox. So the big circle are the three that I call the easy buttons, and I'll talk about action on that workflow in a minute. These are what I call the easy buttons, meaning these types of emails, you really should only touch them one time. The minute you see an email that is trash, get it out of the way. The minute you decide, I don't need to do anything with this email, but I'm going to save it, let's get it into our reference archival. So the example I gave earlier, the client emails you and they said, what time are we meeting? That's an action email that you replied to. We're meeting at 3 p.m. Send. And they reply, thanks. There's nothing more for you to do. And so you could file that in reference archival unless you say, I don't need to keep that. Doesn't matter. I can delete it. If though on that trail, on that workflow, if you are stuck on a decision, just default to saving it. That's what I do. I don't try to get hung up on those decisions. I just save it. And then if I don't need it later, fine, but it doesn't matter to save it. Okay, let's follow the trail to the right now. You get an email. Is it actionable? Yes. Can I do it right now? Yes. When possible, you want to try to address action emails right away. Those are the emails that are going to take you 30 seconds to 3 minutes to address. So when possible, handle that email right away and then just be done with it. However, sometimes action emails you can't do right now because you're about to jump on a meeting or you're just so focused on something else that you can't even think about what time you're meeting with the client. You're working on a completely different brief or research project. And in an hour, when you take your next Pomodoro break, then you can address that action email. So sometimes action emails end up becoming part of what I call my art system. That's really, you get an email. Can you do it now? Or is it actionable? I'm sorry. You get an email. Is it actionable? Yes. Can you complete it now? No. Well, why not? I'm stuck. I need more information from somebody. That's tracking. It's something I can't or won't do until the future. That's reference actionable. It's a big project. That's diminish, or it touches action, a little action now, some reference actionable in the future. You're going to get stuck on the project. It's going to go through the life cycle of a project. So next I'm going to show you how this connects to the Outlook inbox, but I will pause again and invite Rin to let me know if there's any questions through that segment.
I don't see any questions in the Q&A at this time.
Okay, great. If you have any, please go ahead and put them in. Next, we're going to get into, okay, this is interesting. I understand the art concept, but now how do I apply that to the inbox? So first starting with, remember the three easy buttons. So when possible, delete it right away, address it right away, file it right away. And I actually recommend the starting point today. First, start by building the library. In other words, first start by building your reference archival. So if you're in the camp of, I don't use folders at all of my emails are sitting in my inbox, right now, or as soon as we're done, create one folder and just call it reference archival or stuff I want to keep, or whatever you want to call it. And if you're in the camp where you're like, ah, I've been using folders for a long time, let me just show you a little change that you might want to consider making with your folders. So this is just a shorter sample of what I often see with folders or labels in Gmail, is a huge, long list of folders. Maybe some are nested within a parent folder, but often the folders are just a big, long list. So I like analogies. I'm going to give you another one. Imagine you invite me into your home and I ask for a glass of water. So we walk into your kitchen and you likely, I'm assuming I know you a little bit, but you likely have glasses in some cupboard, or maybe it's a cabinet, or I don't know, drawer. I don't think I know anyone who puts cups in drawers, but I don't know. You do you. So you go in and you open that cabinet and you pull out a glass and you get me some water. Maybe you close the cabinets, maybe you don't. That's okay, we're not judging right now. So you give me the glass of water, and that is how you would find your cup to give me a glass of water. What I suspect we would not see in your kitchen is walking in and every one of your plates, forks, cups, pots, pans, Tupperware, all of your cooking products on your counter because you're a visual person. That would be a little bit crazy, right? Instead, you know what cabinet to go to. And so what I recommend, if you do use folders, is to think of high-level categories that your folders belong under. And what that does, so visually you're looking at a sample that's sort of a hybrid of what I'm talking about. This is what that would look like if you built high level categories. And you can see with all my cabinets closed, I can actually see my entire world of Outlook folders. So this helps in retrieving files that you're looking for, because you're going to name them. You're welcome to take a sample of mine, but your terminology and your world is going to look a little bit different. For example, for me, Beverly Hills Bar, I would go under organizations and then I would go under bar associations. But for you, it might be its own high level category. Or maybe you go, I don't think of that as an organization. I think of that as professional development, or I think of that as CLE, or I think of that as association. So what's that word, and what other similar types of emails that you save would fall under that word? And it might evolve. You might start by calling it CLE, and then you realize that you're actually putting things in there that it's a little bit broader than that. So maybe you call it associations and CLE. But by labeling your reference archival into these high-level categories, it does help keep your inbox crisp. It helps with the issue of creating duplicate folders with different naming conventions. And it helps with filing things away and with retrieving things with our reference archival. Remember, that is, we don't need to take action, but we want to save it, because sometimes we need to go back and look at the history of emails to get some further information or to verify stuff. Okay. The actionable steps I'm going to give you, we'll talk a little bit more about how to organize it in this way. Also, taking a step back for a moment, if you have hundreds, thousands, I've seen up to a million, I'm not kidding, I had one client who had 1 million emails in her inbox. If that is your starting point, I'm also going to address what to do with all those mixed jelly bellies. In short, right now, I do recommend that you declare email bankruptcy, which is basically just taking all of those stale old emails and moving them into a folder. I recommend calling it inbox prior to. I have that on this screen here in the middle. It's a little outdated at this point, but right now, being April 30th is when we're doing this live, I would recommend calling it inbox prior to March 31st of 2025. Because at this point, if it's over a month old, it's stale. That person will reach back out to you if they need your attention, and you're going to shift them into that folder. This helps knowing that you have only the current emails to process in your inbox, the current people that need or want your attention, which helps with the motivation of the ART system. Okay, let me just briefly recap before I get into the ART section of emails and setting it up. The two starting points would be declaring email bankruptcy, and I'll give you a little QR code video on how to do that in a moment, and then creating your reference archival folders, whether it is one folder or whether you organize it like this, that doesn't matter to me or the system. You just need a library or a records department or a drawer to put the stuff in that you don't need to take action on. And that is a critical first step for the rest of what I'm about to talk about here, which is everything that you're going to touch emails more than one time. So these are the emails that you are currently flagging, that you're currently marking as unread again, which is not an effective system, because we've all fallen victim to doing that. And then somehow it gets marked as read and our system breaks. And so with all of these emails where you're likely going to need to touch the email more than one time, the first time to receive the ask and then to follow through because you don't have time right now, or it's not something that you can do right now because it's a date and time specific event in the future, or you're stuck, you need more information from somebody or something signed or something paid, or it's a huge project. So all of these, you're probably going to have to touch the email more than one time, but we don't want to leave it in the inbox because we're getting jelly bellies filling that inbox each and every day. And it's exhausting. So instead, when we touch it the first time, we want to organize it a little bit more effectively. So this is what I call action folders. They're just folders in Outlook. And keep the system simple. Keep it simple. I have four levels in the example. You might even consider only using three levels. Folders that are labeled with an O1 are high priority. I still need to take an action. Folders that are labeled with an O2 are medium priority. I still need to take an action. And folders that are labeled with O3 are low priority, and I still need to take an action. And you can have multiple O1s, O2s, O3s, but the idea is only to have about a dozen of these, okay? So you have to think about how you would organize it. As an example, trusts and estates attorneys who have a lot of clients, they wouldn't create an action folder for every single client. That would end up just being a long list of numbered emails. Instead, they might, like my example here, they might create 01 AA clients and prospects and group together any email that is telling their brain, I still need to take an action on this email. And it might have multiple clients, but maybe their huge high net worth client might have their own 01 folder because that client emails them 7 times a day. So you have to kind of figure out, what do your action folders look like? These happen to be my real right now action folders. So what you're seeing in my world, I just noticed that there's an 03 out of place because I didn't resort that. So I apologize visually for that. But basically what you're seeing is, in my world, my biggest priority are obviously my clients, and I need to respond to 19 emails. There are 19 emails that tell me I still need to do something. I still need to schedule something or reply to something. The next 02 is I'm in a group called Provisors. So if you're familiar with Provisors, but it's a networking group. And also I speak for a group called Vistage. And so there are emails in there that I still need to do something. But remember, our Jelly Belly pack, what we're creating here are individual flavors based on the priority of who the most important or what most important flavor is in our world, and then going down from there. So notice I have an 04 want to read and watch. That's my like messy hidden closet. I have 39 emails that are not a priority for me right now, but in my world, I still want to read or watch them. I'm not ready to delete them or file them in archival. And we all have ebbs and flows in our work. And so I address the 01s and maybe even the 02s, and I get down to the 03s or the 04s when I have time, when I'm able to do so. One last thought on this screen. You're noticing, maybe you noticed, maybe you didn't, but you're seeing numbers on the screen, and they are not blue bolded numbers. Blue bolded is Outlook's way of saying you have unread messages. Instead, what we're looking at are bracketed unbolded numbers. That is, show total number of items. Because when it comes to your action folders, I don't care about read or unread. Read or unread don't mean anything to me. I want to know how many total emails in that category need my attention. And in the handout that I provided, and I'm going to pull that link up again, and you'll also have it in the slide deck, it tells you how to turn that on in Outlook. You can turn on that feature of show total number of items. Unless you're on a Mac, I'm sorry if you're on a Mac, you are not able to do that. So instead, for my Mac users, I recommend that you actually mark the emails in those folders as unread so that you visually see how many emails are in each of the folders, okay? So just to recap, declare email bankruptcy is moving them out of your inbox. I'm going to show you in a minute how to do that. Next step is the reference archival, which is just organizing your folders if you want to. If you're fine with how you have your folders, leave them. That's great. And then it's the action folders, which I think is really the important piece of what we're learning today, is what to do with those emails that you still need to take action on. And I'm going to play this little video because reference actionable, as a reminder, is our delay. So reference actionable says, I can't or won't take action until some point in time in the future. And so while I recommend putting that email in an action folder, I also recommend doing this little technique. So let me come and play this video. Oops. One second while I pull it in.
And it brings her back into this calendar entry. Then just make sure you modify everything else. Outlook is have a...
Sorry about that.
So whenever we have a reference actionable email, that is one that's going to occur in the future. And it's one that is a delay in our 5Ds. So what do we do with those emails? And ultimately, we want them to get onto our calendar at the appropriate time. So in this example, I got confirmation that I am attending this meeting, which happens to be at 11:30. So from the email itself, I can click this button that says meeting. When I do that, it converts the email into a meeting notice, and I can now make some changes to make sure it's accurate on my calendar. So the first thing I want to do is write what it is. And notice that it included the person who sent it to me as a attendee to this meeting. So if I don't want her to attend the meeting, I don't need her to in this case, I can just click cancel invitation and it converts it to an appointment. And if I do want to invite her, I just click that back and it brings her back into this calendar entry. Then just make sure you modify everything else. Outlook is only as smart as knowing that the meeting must be occurring in the next nearest half an hour. So make sure you change that to the actual time of the meeting. You need to put in a location. And I am a huge advocate for categories. If you attend my ART email productivity course, you'll see why as I build out categories in our calendar effectively. So mark the category, hit save and close. Now I can take this email and get it out of my inbox. In this case, I'm gonna delete it. And I'm even gonna go all the way down and fully delete it. So it's completely gone out of my inbox. When I go to my calendar, the meeting is on my calendar and it has the email thread included in it. So for reference actionable, for an action in the future, webinars, phone calls, meetings, even to block off time to do work, although I caution you there to be very aware of your habits and if you actually do the work at the time you blocked off. But you can take an email and use this approach to schedule it onto your calendar in the future and get it out of your inbox.
Okay, so we're just wrapping up here. I know we're a little past time, so I apologize I didn't say that before starting the video. As the recap, this is in the slide deck and in the handouts. Where you go from here is first declaring that email bankruptcy, because what I find is seeing that count in your inbox go down and also just knowing that what you have are the existing live emails really helps with following through with the rest of the system. The next action you should take is just start thinking about what emails follow that thread to the left, the easy buttons. So in that case, don't just click by them, actually get them filed or delete them. Or in the case of action emails, when possible, take the action right now. And for the rest of that flowchart on the right, when you can't take the action right now, or you're stuck, or you just don't have the time, or it's a big project, then start setting up action folders. And just start with the first email that you're seeing. You don't have to set them all up now. Just be like, I have an email and it's from a client and I can't do it until tomorrow. I'll set up an O1 client action folder and I'll move it there. And then I am a big advocate for any systems or tools to be more productive and to remind you as you're building these new habits. So even if you have to put a sticky note in front of you that says, don't forget to check your action folders, or leaving that window open so you visually see that folder with that bracket, that way the system doesn't fail, because that's certainly what I don't want for anyone, is to feel like they forgot to check those folders. This is that resource, that handout again, that goes deeper into what we've talked about today: rules, quick steps, turning off notifications, setting up show total number of items. These are all available on this handout. You can grab it again on the slide deck handout that you're going to get from Beverly Hills Bar. You can also reach out to me if you have any questions at all or need that resource. And I will end with any other questions that we have, Rin.
All right. We've got quite a few questions. Okay. One of our attendees said, I get 100 plus emails a day. Every time I go there, there might be 50 emails and I can't go through all of them at the time. How do you recommend handling the inbox throughout the day? Review all at one time or throughout the day on breaks between meetings?
Yeah, great question. So as you set up ART system, some of those 50 batches, 100 batches will get organized through the rules that you set up. So in other words, I showed O2 provisors. I have rules set up that anytime provisors is
the sender or in the subject line, it comes into that action folder. So it doesn't even come into my inbox, which helps with this overwhelmed feeling of I have 50 emails. So I get 50 emails, but they're getting filed. They're being delivered in the right folders. So it'll take some time and some habits to say, oh, I get this. I always get these emails from this person or this collaborator with these subject lines. I'm going to have it delivered into this folder. Beverly Hills Bar is an example where I have 03 organizations. Every Beverly Hills Bar email gets delivered into that folder so that when I have a slower hour, I can go through them in batches. And it actually helps with the ADHD brain, because instead of it being like, I have an email from my most important client, I have an email from Beverly Hills Bar, I have an email from Law 360, I have an email from my other client, that toggling of your brain is very difficult and it's cognitively demanding. So instead, by setting up the action folders and setting up some rules so they get delivered into the right action folder, it's less bouncing around, and then that feeling of overwhelm does get mitigated. And then to answer the last part of that question, what that also translates to is, in my example of you're working for 50 minutes and then you go check email for 10 minutes, you might find you still have 7 emails in your inbox. And so what I often do is the first thing I do is I triage them, because not everything you're going to set up a rule for, because maybe I don't get an email that often from Vistage. So I might drag it to the Vistage folder. And then once I've done that, I still have 8 minutes to then work on my 01 client emails. So that's a way where you really can, through the system, you can prioritize what emails you are focusing on based on the time you have available during that allotted time. I'm sorry, I'm a little long-winded on this question. The last piece about it is, again, it kind of ebbs and flows. So I often, in the morning, I usually try to block about 30 minutes to deal with emails. That just helps me triage what came in and then start to go through them. And then throughout the day, I might have 10-minute blocks throughout the day. And by the end of the day, I'm not at inbox zero, but what I am at is stuff is filed away in my action folders. And I know that I'm comfortable that I didn't get to the 03 organizations today, or I didn't get to the 04 want to read. I hope that's helpful. Please feel free to reach out to me if you need further elaboration. And if you're not sure how to set up rules, it is in that handout, or again, you can reach out to me. All right, Rin.
Let's see. I guess this question was in regards to, I would assume, the 01, 02, 03. This person asked, should we actually label the boxes like this? And then they also asked, should I filter emails that are sent directly to me versus CC'd to me?
Again, an excellent question. So yes, label them like that. That being said, you don't have to put the hyphen. I put 01 space hyphen space words. You can do it however you want, but I do recommend the numbers, because it helps visually with the priority, as well as if you right click on your inbox, you have an option, sort folders A to Z. And sometimes Outlook, everyone's Outlook sometimes is different, where when you add a folder, it brings it to the top. And so it'll get messy again. And because you're labeling them 01, 02, 03 via that feature of sort alphabetically, it'll restack it for you quite nicely. The other part of that question, I'm sorry, what was the latter part of the question, Rin?
They were wondering if they should, here, let me pull it up.
Two and CC, I remember now. Thank you.
Yeah.
I asked you to prompt me, I remember. Actually that can be quite powerful. If people that you collaborate with are using the CC correctly, CC is carbon copy. That means you're being copied as an FYI. And assuming you're talking about a scenario where that's how people are using it, you can set up a really powerful rule. You could even have an action folder that is 02, I'm being CC'd. Okay. And then you set up a rule that says, whenever I am in the CC line, deliver it to that folder. And then you check it once a day or once a week, depending on the volume and the types of emails you get. Because again, now you can say, here's a group of Jelly Belly flavors. Here are a group of emails where I am being CC'd.
And so based on who I know my collaborators are and how they use that functionality, I don't need that to interrupt me. I can look at that at the end of the day and just browse through them and say, okay, good. Yep. The associate sent those emails out. The assistant sent them out. This looks good. I can file them away in archive now.
All right. And then the last two questions were dealing with those calendar entries you were doing. One wanted to know if you knew how to set up a calendar event with Gmail instead of Outlook. And then someone else was asking how it got from email to calendar entry.
Well, what was the latter one? How it got
How it got from the email to calendar entry.
Great. So for the Gmail crowd, yes, you can do it. And I apologize, it's not fresh in my mind right now. You can reach out to me if I'm saying it wrong or, and you're not able to get there. But basically, when you're in an email and you can go to the ellipses, the three dots, and there is an option there that says create event. The only main difference is it will pull in the email, but it loses the rich format or the HTML format, but the text is still there, which can be helpful. So that is how you do it in Gmail. And then it's the same, everything else is the same. You may have to change the subject line, the date, the time, and then put a category or a label on it, the color on it. But that functionality is exactly the same. The person who asked how to do it, so there's actually a lot of ways to do it, but the one I showed in the video, when you have the email open, you should have this little button. It's like a little calendar box with an arrow that is that converts it to a meeting. And then just remember to cancel the invitation if you don't want to actually invite everybody who's on the email. I use this to invite everybody on the email. So if I'm emailing back and forth with a prospect or a client or a power partner, and then we say, great, let's meet tomorrow at noon, I just hit reply with meeting. It converts it to the calendar, and I have the thread in that calendar meeting, which is helpful just in case there's ever a question like, what are we going to talk about? Or wait, I have this calendared at noon, but I thought we said we were going to meet at 12:30. And then you have the full text right there in front of you, which of course could be much more efficient than going and trying to search and find the email.
I believe that about wraps up Q&A.
Amazing. Great. Well, I hope you found this helpful. If it feels like it's a lot, that's why I wanted to take action steps, the little steps to get started. So even if today the first thing you do is just start that email bankruptcy, and get your assistant, if you have one, to move the messages. Don't spend your time doing it. Have them move the messages for you if that's an option to you. And then from there, the next step would be the reference archival. So just take the baby steps. And if you're still feeling overwhelmed, please do reach out to me and see if I can provide further help for you. Thank you. I hope you all are having a wonderful and productive week. And I appreciate your time today.